here this morning and realized I did not bring my right glasses. So I had to sneak out to my car and get my not right glasses. So I will be shifting back and forth to try to make my not right glasses work this morning. But here's what happened. I have always made it my intention and my desire that anytime we study together, anytime we worship together, that whatever we do, whatever I say, whatever I present is based on the Bible, upon God's Word. And so I always felt confident, and no matter what, if I was in the Bible, that I was okay, that it was going to be good. And so I believe that when the Bible talks about that we are to rightly divide God's Word, that we should do that. I can know the Scriptures, I can know what it says, but I must also rightly divide it. And it's easy sometimes if we don't understand or explore the whole counsel of God, that perhaps we can wrongly divide God's Word. Okay? So, I'm getting to it. I'm getting to my point. One of the things that I have studied about a lot and have wanted to make sure that I got right, and quite honestly, something that I see in the brotherhood that is an issue among Christians, and that involves forgiveness. Because, you see, I need God's forgiveness because I'm a sinner. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away my sins. I need to know that when God looks at me, even as a sinner, that I can receive His forgiveness. I count on it because I want to go to heaven. And so I've spent and had spent a lot of time making sure that I positioned myself to receive God's forgiveness. It is the reason I obeyed the gospel. I wanted to be forgiven of my sins. I wanted my sins washed away. I wanted to know that God had forgiven me of the things in my life that I had done wrong. So go, if you get your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 18. Because, in whatever way, because I want us to read this text and then I'll explain to you the position that I have taken most of my life when it came to forgiveness. Not only God's forgiveness for me, but my forgiveness to others. And you'll understand why as we study this. So here's how I formulated my position. Starting in Matthew chapter 18, and this is Jesus' teaching. But Peter comes to Jesus, verse 21. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now, again, we look at seven and being complete and all that, but actually, there's a very, very strong possibility that Peter's question is based upon Amos chapter 2 and verse 4, where God had said, "I will forgive seven times." Now, is that what Peter was remembering? I don't know. But he says, you know, he's trying to put a limit on how often I have to forgive my brother. And he says, "Is it seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all.' And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Look at verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So I took the position and have always said, hey, if I want God to forgive me, I've got to forgive my brother. And in fact, I have to forgive my brother 7 times 70, which again, in our understanding, infinitely. In other words, I have always said, I will quit forgiving my brother when God quits forgiving me, which is never. God's forgiveness is always there for me. Forgiveness is fundamental in Jesus' teaching. Go to Matthew chapter 6, because Jesus teaches this. You remember, again, the prayer we call the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus includes in that prayer as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, verse 12, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors, which again is very much in line with Matthew chapter 18, that sin was a debt. And so, you know, we pray to God, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Now go down a few verses, still in Matthew chapter 6, at verse 14. Because Jesus is going to expound upon this very thought. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But listen to verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, that's kind of important to me. That I understand that part of my forgiveness from God is conditional upon my forgiving somebody else. Go to Mark chapter 11. This is more of Jesus' teaching. See, my position that I took and have taken all my life is very biblical. I've got book, chapter, and verse, and we want to do that, right? If we take a position scripturally, we want it to be based upon God's word. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, Mark 11, 25 and 26, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Again, my position was, I can't even have a proper prayerful relationship with God if I have not forgiven my brother. Now, is everybody agreeing with me so far? I mean, we've got Bible. And that is a position. I must forgive my brother. This is taught by the Apostle Paul. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And this was written to Christians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Again, this is written to Christians. Be kind to one another and be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see where Paul is putting those two together. You know, through Jesus Christ, we received forgiveness of our sins from God, so I must likewise forgive others. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Again, the church at Colossae, these are Christians, bear with one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Okay? So, my position, the Bible says, Randy, you want forgiveness? You're going to have to forgive. Brother and sister. Commanded by Jesus, commanded by the Apostle Paul. Now I even went and I said, you want some examples? Do we remember Jesus hanging on the cross? Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Because I was actually in a discussion with a brother. And it was after services because we had studied forgiveness. And I was explaining to him my position, and I'm throwing scripture after scripture and saying, this is why I believe what I believe. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Understand who Jesus is addressing here. He's addressing his Father. And the subject is these people who have beaten him, who have lied about him, who have mocked him, who have spit on him, who have now crucified him. And what does Jesus ask of the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. I said, there's your example of somebody willing to forgive, wanting to forgive. Go to Acts chapter 7, and you will recall. And these are all examples that I used in my discussion. Forgiving our brother. We've got to forgive our brother. There's a gospel preacher by the name of Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to the Jews boldly. And as happens occasionally, they didn't receive his message really well. In fact, he makes them so angry with his sermon that they take this young gospel preacher out and they stone him to death. And do you remember in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, one of the last things, and it may be the last thing that Stephen actually utters, Lord, do not lay this sin at their charge. Forgiveness. And so my position was that I, as a child of God, in order for me to receive forgiveness, I would have to forgive. It was not an option. There were no circumstances that I would not and should not and could not forgive. Doesn't that sound like a pretty good position? Does that sound pretty biblical? Well, I was listening to two preachers discuss this very subject about 6 weeks ago. And I watched the video because I said, they're going to back me up and what I believe. And you know what? I found out maybe I didn't know how to rightly divide God's Word. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. And let's look at the whole counsel of God. Let's look at everything that God has to say about forgiveness and forgiving my brother and see if I am properly understanding and properly applying God's Word. Luke chapter 17. Luke is going to, and I believe at some point, he kind of is repeating the scenario in Matthew chapter 18, although, you know, Matthew includes the parable. But Luke chapter 17, and read with me, and follow along, and let's see if we can learn something. I did. Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. This is Jesus talking. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Did I miss something? Was there something that God said was conditional for me to give my forgiveness? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's actually what that man, and this has been 30 years ago that I was having this conversation, that was what he was saying. He said, no, that brother has to repent. And I said, oh, no, no, no. Look at all these other scriptures that said this. I was not rightly dividing God's word. And in fact, to my detriment, I was ignoring everything God had said because I thought I knew what God's will was. Brethren, what we need to know in forgiving our brothers and sisters when sin is involved is that there must be a process that we go through that resolves that sinful situation. It's not merely me saying, I don't care that you sinned against me. I don't care what you did. I'm going to forgive you anyway. Brethren, that's not biblical. Go to Matthew chapter 18 with me. Because we want to look at the whole counsel of God. We want to know everything that God has to say about this. Matthew chapter 18. Listen to verse 15. This is Jesus talking. This is not Randy. This is Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you. Now understand, this is somebody that has sinned against me. If your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You try to reconcile. You try to work it out. You try to make him aware of what has happened. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Okay? Brethren, this is a brother. In this instance, he uses the term brother, but it could be a sister. A brother that refuses to repent. He is given multiple opportunities to make it right in several different scenarios and settings. But at the end of it all, Jesus says, if that person refuses to repent, does he say forgive them? No. Let them be to you as a heathen or a tax collector, which was somebody that they did not associate with. Now that's Jesus' teaching. And brethren, I'm going to suggest that when we really look at the scenario that even we just studied with different eyes, I believe we see a different understanding. Let's go back to Jesus on the cross. Okay? Jesus is on the cross. He prays, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Right? Everybody agree with that? Okay? Did Jesus have the power to forgive sins? Yes, he did. And there are times that we find in the Bible where he did. He said, your sins are forgiven. And in fact, the Pharisees go, wait a minute, who is this that's forgiving sins? He says, I'm the Son of God. I can forgive sins. So did Jesus have the authority on the cross to forgive those people of their sins? Absolutely. But that's not what he said first. He said, Father, forgive them. He was having a spirit of forgiveness. Now, follow with me here. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, all right? Peter and the other apostles are gathered on the day of Pentecost and they are preaching to the Jews, right? The Jews that Peter and the apostles are preaching to are identified by Peter in the lesson as those who had crucified Jesus. You did this. You were a party to this. Okay? So we get down to verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to them, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What is the first word out of Peter's mouth, verse 38? Repent. Whoa, wait a minute. If Jesus forgave them of their sins and on the cross, or if God forgave them of their sins because Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," what are they repenting of? Why do they need forgiveness? Why do they need any of this? Because it wasn't. Did my Savior have a spirit of forgiveness? Absolutely. Did Stephen have a spirit of forgiveness? Absolutely. Must Randy have a spirit of forgiveness? Absolutely. I want to forgive. I want us to resolve this matter. If you're in sin, I want you to stop that sinful nature, that sinful activity, because I care about your soul. Brethren, if I have this absolute unconditional forgiveness, you can do anything in the world to me, whatever, I forgive you. Brethren, that's not biblical. Let me ask a question. God forgive me if I don't repent? No. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you're going to perish. 3:19, repent that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 17, at one time God winked at ignorance, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. If God won't forgive me unless I repent of my sins, is it biblical for me to forgive sins that are not repented of? I would suggest if I know a brother or sister has committed sin against me and I know that their soul now is in danger, how can I say I am a loving brother or sister if I don't attempt to do something to bring them to repentance? And that's the whole deal of Matthew 18. That's Jesus' teaching. We're going to bring this sinner back because we love their soul, because we care about them. I would suggest, brethren, if I take the approach of you've sinned against me, but I'm not ever going to say anything, I'm not ever going to do anything, I don't love your soul. Because if I loved your soul, I would do everything in my power. Everything in my power to bring you back. Now, sometimes, as we read in Matthew chapter 18, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes they refuse to come back. But brethren, every time that we as brothers and sisters, and we're talking family here, we're talking within the body, every time we as brothers and sisters do not lovingly confront those who have sinned against us, we reinforce within them that they can sin without consequences. Can I sin before my God and not pay any consequences? No. No, brethren, we know that. We know that. And I have got to love that soul. I have got to show a regard for their salvation that says, I want you and I to go to heaven together. Well, if they just absolutely just stonewall me and maybe even continue to say or do bad things, is it now okay for me to just absolutely do everything in my power to discredit or even get even with that brother or sister? Oh, no. No, brethren. That's not part of the teaching. Remember, we're that forgiving spirit? Go with me to the epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Forgiving my brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, 2 Thessalonians 3, 14, and this is Christians, he's writing to Christians. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them. Okay? Remember, Matthew 18, tax collector, heathen, we don't associate. Well, that means I can hate them now, right? No. No. We do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. But look at verse 15. This is critical. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Brethren, if I sin against you, I'm still your brother. And you still need to love me as your brother. Does that mean you condone my sin against you? No. Does that mean you tolerate my sin against you? No. Does that mean you keep company with me as I sin? No. But I'm still your brother. And you still love me. That's a forgiving spirit. I always think back to, and y'all know this, the old prodigal son. See, I learned a lesson on that one too. I've taught prodigal son probably as long as I have a memory. But I never ever really got it. But if you go back and you read the story of the prodigal son, when that son returns, that father sees him afar off, is the way the text says. He's a long way away. And when that father sees him, what does that father do? He runs to him and gets to him as fast as he can and throws his arms around. Now, at that point, does that father know that son is coming back humbled and penitent? No. The father has a spirit of my son that was dead is alive, but that son tells him, and that son repents, and that father embraces and loves him and celebrates. That's the type of spirit we have to have. Waiting, hoping, please come back. Please, please return to the Lord. Please return to the fellowship of the congregation. How many congregations and how many brethren continue to harbor ill feelings because we just don't understand forgiveness? And we just don't understand how God says that we're to deal with each other and love each other. Brethren, I learned about forgiveness. And I'm over 18. I know y'all probably can't tell that, but I'm over 18. And I continue to learn. I am so thankful to God that I continue to learn and I continue to be better and hopefully strive every day to be a better Christian and to obey God better. I encourage you, study on this. You may come back to me after class and say, now wait a minute, I have you considered this scripture, this text. If you've got it, please do it. I'll continue to study it. Because let me tell you, at the end of the day, I know this, if I don't figure out how to forgive, God's not going to forgive me. And I need it. I got to have it. Brethren, we all do. We all want to go to heaven. And so let's go to heaven together. Let's study the Word together. And let's grow as Christians together. Song has been selected, hopefully for those in our assembly who may have a spiritual need of some kind that we could address. I don't know that there's somebody here that's not a Christian. But if you've made that decision, if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent and confess your faith in him, will immerse you in water, bury you in baptism for the remission of sins, and the very blood of Jesus Christ that we've acknowledged and we've talked about will wash away your sins. The Lord will add you to church, not me. Not any man on this earth will add you to the church, to his church.